The text is the Gospel reading from St. John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell him where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends our text. Christmas in July means for retailers to boost, is a means for retailers to boost sagging summer sales. So how about Easter in July as a way to boost sagging summer spirits? Today we remember St. Mary Magdalene, and the text appointed for a festival day is an Easter account. Lutherans don't pray to saints, but we do honor them in three ways: by thanking God for his mercy toward them, by having our faith strengthened when we see that God deals with sinners just like us by grace, and finally by imitating the faith and lives of the saints. Celebrating God's mercy and grace towards Mary Magdalene will strengthen our faith and life in the midst of these dog days of summer. We celebrate Easter today by seeing how a bedeviled Mary Magdalene is saved from herself. Mark tells us that the risen Jesus appeared first to her. That's probably not what you remember her for. If you're around my age, you remember her as a love-struck, fallen woman pining away for Jesus. That's how she's portrayed in the 70s pop musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. But that's not a scriptural portrayal. We don't know if Mary was a prostitute. We don't know if she pined away for Jesus, unsure of how to love him. What we do know from scripture is that Jesus cast out seven demons from her. Luke 8:2 describes her as the one from whom seven demons had gone out, and Mark 16:9 says Jesus cast them out. What most people don't remember is that Luke 8 verse 2 names two other women and refers to many others besides Mary Magdalene. Luke says of all these women that they provided for Jesus and the 12 out of their own means, and they had been healed of evil spirits and diseases. So Mary isn't unique in that she was bedeviled, but in how many devils she had. Seven. Why does Luke tell us that point of information? Are we to think of her as some especially malevolent woman? I don't think so. I don't think she was particularly evil, but especially strong and self-reliant. That's why she needed saving from herself. As proof, I offer Luke 11:24 to 26. This is the only other time that Scripture speaks of seven unclean spirits. Jesus says, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." Here's a picture of Mary Magdalene. Like us all, Mary was bedeviled by evil spirits from conception on. It might have been the demon of greed, of pride, of jealousy, of unbelief, of lust, of fear, of worry. That demon left her for some reason. It wasn't cast out by word or sacrament. It wasn't driven out by baptism or sent away by absolution. It just left. When that happens, a person can think they've mastered the evil spirit. Oh, they probably don't call it an evil spirit. They call it a bad habit, a weakness, poor upbringing, or even genetic. The world teaches them that by discipline or by practice or by medicine, they can overcome their problems or habits. And they can for a while. They can sweep up their life and they can put it back in order. But you can't sweep away sins or devils. When an evil spirit is not dealt with by the power of God, it isn't driven out, it isn't overcome, it isn't even really dealt with. It just gives you a respite, a break. But when it comes back, it brings seven spirits more evil than itself, and your last state is worse than your first. This is Mary of Magdala. She thought she had her demon under control. She thought she dealt with her problem, overcome her weakness, cleaned up her act. But she found herself defiled, overcome by seven demons who deal with her as they willed. Well, what did those seven demons do with her? Both modern and ancient lore make her some sort of fallen woman. But as I said, we don't know that her problem had anything to do with sex. Based on what we do know about her from the Bible, her demons might have had to do with money. She came from the city of Magdala. That was a very wealthy city. It was one of the three cities in Palestine whose taxes had to be carried to Jerusalem by wagon. This city was famous for the lucrative business of dyeing fabrics. We also know that Mary was one of the women who supported Jesus and the apostles with her own money. So perhaps her devils were greed, worry about having enough money, or trusting in money. Whatever her demons, a picture of a self-reliant, self-sufficient Mary, that's consistent with our text. Do you see how she deals with the problem of Jesus' body missing? She doesn't ask angels for help, though they're sitting right in front of her. When she thinks she sees the gardener, she demands that he tell her where the body is, and she asserts that she herself will go and literally, she says, pick him up. Now the men, they would have formed a body picking up committee. They would have debated how best to do it, and then they would have eventually got around to it. This strong woman doesn't need or want anyone's help. She will do it all herself now. The demons are back. Celebrate Easter with me in these dog days of summer by seeing how a bedeviled woman is saved from self by a crucified yet risen Lord. But first, let's go back and see how Mary was saved the first time. Mary Magdalene comes on the scene suddenly, rather, in Luke 8, verse 2. Well, the very end of Luke chapter 7 is that touching story of the woman who wets Jesus' feet with her tears of thanks, dries them with her hair, and then anoints them with very expensive perfume. Jesus says that the reason she shows so much love is that she knows she's been forgiven by him for so very many sins. Say 7 or 8 demons worth. Now some in the ancient church, they identified that woman as Mary Magdalene. But Luke doesn't. However, by preceding the introduction of Mary and how she supported Jesus' ministry with this story of forgiveness and its powerful effect in the life of one woman, Luke indicates that forgiveness, that is what delivered Mary not only from sin, not only from death, but from the power of her devils into Jesus' church. Jesus had that sort of power in her life and your life. Not because he is God, but because he's Savior. God always had the power to send Satan to hell, But if God did that, you and I, we would have went with him. Satan standing before God was based on God's word and our sinfulness. God had promised that sinful souls would die and they would be damned. This word from God, that gave Satan access and standing before him because Satan could demand that God keep his promise. God binds himself to his word so very much that anyone, even Satan himself, can appeal to him on the basis of it. However, to keep his word to punish sinners, God would have to give up his love for sinners. Well, God could both keep his word and love sinners by sending his only son. Jesus came into the world, the holy God in flesh and blood, to keep up all of God's laws and to pay all for all the sins of humanity. Jesus kept the laws Mary could not keep and then bought her sins as his own. Jesus silenced the devils always accusing her because what could they accuse her for now if he kept all God's laws? What sin of hers could the devils demand Mary pay for if Jesus already paid for them all? Mary was forgiven. Mary was free. Mary was reborn until Easter. From the get-go on Easter morning, Mary accepts the fact Jesus is dead. Mary is as good a theologian as St. Paul. She knows that if Jesus is not raised from the dead, that means God's laws weren't completely kept or her sins weren't completely paid for. Jesus either failed to keep the law perfectly or he failed to pay for all of her sins. He remains dead because he's still paying either for his own sins or for hers. In either case, her sins aren't paid for. So the devils are back, shrieking, "You're indebted to us. We own you." No wonder she's crying. There's a painting of Mary Magdalene crying at the tomb. I saw it when I was very young. She's in a heap. Her hair is disheveled, hanging down in her face. You can only see part of her face, and that's all blurred by tears. This is what happens if you lose sight of the risen Lord. That is, when you don't hear his word, when you don't cling to his body and blood as Jesus here promises you can after his ascension. The devils come rushing back. They bring back your sins, their despair, and the law's pitiless judgment. You're tempted to respond like Mary did in the text, with determination to fix the situation yourself. You don't need the help of God or of man. You have the strength to do what needs doing. You'll overcome the devils. You'll rise above the despair. You'll respond to the law's judgment. Oh, no, you won't. You'll end up in a crushed, crying heap. Only a risen Lord who was crucified in your place can save you from the devils that torment you. Notice Mary did not find Jesus, he found her. And though she did not know him, he knows her. That's what counts most. Not whether we're looking for Jesus, but whether Jesus is looking for us. Not that we know Jesus, but that Jesus knows us. It all starts with Jesus, not us. Faith is born in the human heart from Jesus seeking, finding, and knowing us. In just the speaking of her name, Mary, Jesus reveals himself to her. He hasn't forgotten about her or about you. As he knew where to find Mary, so he knows where to find you. As he knew Mary in life and even in his death, so he knows her in the new life, in everlasting life. Her sins can't stop that. Her despairing can't stop that. Her devils can't stop that. Though we might not even recognize ourselves sometimes, so misshapen are we by our sins, by our despair, by our devils, Jesus does not fail to know us in baptism, where he first spoke our name and continues to speak it to this very day. Easter in July means Jesus is with us in these dog days. We aren't alone with our sins. We aren't alone with our death. We aren't alone with our devils. Our Jesus is before the Father advocating on our behalf, pleading on our behalf, interceding on our behalf, and surely the only beloved Son is heard by his Father. All of God, all of heaven is on our side against our sins, our death, our devils. But our Jesus is here with us too, no less than he was with Mary on that first Easter morning. The Lord of all sins, of all death, and of all devils, stands with us on earth, clothed in bread and wine, looking weak to the world, but is all powerful against the sins that would damn us, the death that would slay us, and the devils that would torment us. We can come away from this altar, as Mary came away from the grave, saying, I've seen the Lord. Happy Easter. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.